This call is now being recorded.
Hey, everybody. This is Rainey with Fannie Lou's Children, a podcast by me. It's a nod to my hero, Fannie Lou Hamer, a voting rights and civil rights activist born in rural Mississippi. I talk to people who work to exact change in their communities and find solutions, as she did. Starting tonight and leading up to the end of February, I'm going to be doing something a little different. I'll be talking to people from various walks of life, people who I consider contributors. So contributors to what? Well, the answer is to everything and anything that leads to our own well-being, physically, mentally, spiritually, that type of thing. One contributor is my guest tonight, Soulful Archer, the lifestyle coach. He is a social media presence and has begun his own podcast called Soulful Truth. I'm going to be putting information on his podcast in the show notes. We'll also save a little time to talk about his podcast as well. We're going to be talking about, tonight we're going to be talking about relationships, specifically those between Black men and Black women, and why we haven't been able to get a handle on this thing called love. Welcome to the podcast. Soulful, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing tonight?
I'm wonderful. Thank you and welcome. I appreciate you consenting to do this podcast tonight. I know it's you're an hour ahead of me, so it's a little later there, but I really thank you. I really appreciate it. I want to, for the sake of time, I want to get right into the podcast because our pre-interview got me so excited about this. We're just going to talk about some things that, you know, a lot of women talk to me about, a lot of men talk to me about, that I talk to people about. Of course, you know, we see a lot of this stuff on social media, so I thought, well, you know, let's let a lifestyle coach talk to us about some of this stuff. So the first question I want to ask you, though, is what is the impetus for you becoming a lifestyle coach?
Say that last part again.
What's the impetus? What was the driving force for you to become a lifestyle coach? Can you hear me? Am I clear?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay, great. Let me know if I fade out. I'm using headsets right now.
No problem.
Okay.
Basically, when I was coming up, I did not have a platform such as social media, Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff. I didn't know about a life coach or a mentor, per se, you know, when it came to going to someone that could assist you with specific things going on in my life. So a lot of stuff, I kind of just stuttered and, you know, stumbled through it. And I kind of, you know, made my mistakes and tried to learn, you know, the lessons going through it. But I ended up making more mistakes and not really learning too much. So now that I'm older and more experienced, now I try to share my experiences and share the wisdom that I've learned from the choices I made in my life with others. You know, not so much to say you should do it this way or don't do it that way, but more of just giving them an alternative that they may not have thought about before. You know, cause I prefer to give a person enough ammunition to be able to do the job right instead of just giving them a little bit of information and then shoving them out the door and say, go do it.
I see. Well, you might have some questions. And were you finished? I'm sorry. Were you finished?
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Okay. Because, you know, I know coaches have different reasons, different, you know, they're inspired so many different ways. And so that's why I was asking you that. So I want to get right into this topic. And then we can have some questions to ask. I follow you. And so I love following you, first of all. I love opinions that make sense, you know, and it's just not talk. But one thing I want to first talk about is something that I hear a lot about on Facebook, memes, conversations, posts, whatever, the C word, the cheating word. So I'm going to get right into this podcast and ask you this. Why is it that we, and I say we Black people because I don't see other people doing this, to be honest. Not saying they don't, but not at the rate that we do. Why is it that we, the talk of cheating is so revered to us. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Okay? I think I started noticing this about the last 5 years, it seems, that I've heard a lot of men say, not saying that women don't, I want to get, you know, because a lot of people want to, you know, get you caught up on, well, not all. So we know we can't be talking about all people. It seems that I've heard men say more than anyone, I don't cheat, as if it's the only thing that we should expect of them, okay? Or memes or conversations that glorify cheating, or that use cheating as bait, or use cheating as punishment. You see what I'm saying? Anything we can do to talk about cheating. Personally, that me, you know, I take everything back to racism, but I can kind of prove it. So I think because we have very small amount of power, that one of the things that people can't take away from us is our ability to go to bed with somebody. So we talk about that a lot. We don't talk about a lot of things because we don't have power about a lot of things. But we're adamantly talking about cheating. I want to know why we do that, because you study people. Why do, in your opinion, why do black men and women revere the topic of cheating so much?
Good question. Because I'm right there with you in regards to noticing the shift. And actually, I kind of put it even further back than 10 years. Like, well, I started noticing it when the R&B song, the tone of the songs changed from people singing about being in love with one another and expressing their love to mm-hmm. now we want to talk about we having sex, I'm going to lick you up and down. When the tone of the R&B changed to a more sexual tone, then everything started to really change as far as relationships. Because people, you know, music is very powerful. You know, it's a very powerful medium to tell a story, especially when it's telling a story that's a reflection of the world that we're currently in. So when people shifted from wanting to sing about love, now they're shifting to singing about sex all the time. You know, what I can do in the bedroom and what I can do to you girl and this and that, da 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 da. And then everything just kind of made that shift. Because it was always singing about cheating. You know, what was that song? I'm trying to think of that old school song where she's like, is it Shirley? You know, I'm a cute woman. We've always had cheating being part of society. But it really got, I guess, more notoriety with the music. And now it's like everybody got a song about being cheated on or cheating on somebody. You know, some of the most well-known R&B singers and even rappers have sung these type of songs about being cheated on or cheating on someone, having a side chick, all that stuff. So when people are driving down the street bopping their head to a song and the dude or the guy is talking about how he got this side chick, you know, or the girl's talking about how she got cheated on, and we just listen to it, and it's just like we're kind of reprogramming ourselves to think like cheating is a normal part of society because we're always talking about it. We're talking about it. We're singing about it. Watching it in movies, watching it in these TV shows, it's like we're programming ourselves to accept it. And that's one of the major reasons why cheating is so prevalent, because everything is about cheating all the time. The shows are about cheating, the movies are about cheating, the music is about cheating. I mean, it's in the society, so that's why we talk about it so much. I mean, it's always been around, it was just never, you know, that much of a topic, because people weren't really talking about it, but now, there's money, you know, in cheating. Look at Jerry Springer show. Look how much money, you know, Maury them used to make back then when they would have people confronting people that cheated on them. I mean, people want to watch that. You know, people love drama. Unfortunately, it's a reflection of our society. That's on our views on cheating. So, it's a simple, but it's also a complex answer.
Okay. Makes sense. I want to shift a little bit. I want to ask you this question. You're a black man. So you can answer for yourself and what you think about, you know, black men in general on this topic. Do men need us? And if so, what do they need us for? And what kind of a woman does a man not need? But first, do you all need us? I'm not saying do you want us.
Well, yes.
I'm saying do you all need us? Do you need black women? That's why I'm talking about black women and black men tonight. Do black men need black women?
Yes, we do. Now, what we need you for, that's subjective, because everyone has their own specific needs. But in general, we as black men, we definitely need black women, because you are our source of strength. You know, you are, I want to say better half, but you are the complementary parts to us that we need in life. Because we can't go through life being strong and hard and logical through everything. We need that softer side. And a lot of times that softer side is going to come from, you know, the woman that we've chosen to be within our life. That's part of, you know, her role in help balancing us. And we also balance you guys out as well with things that you may not be as strong with. That's how it's supposed to be. You know, it's just that so many people have just come up, you know, in a less than ideal situation when it comes to marriage and relationships and showing love, that is, that's kind of got lost in the sauce in a sense. You know, with everybody cheating on, well, a lot of people cheating on each other, and a lot of people being broken, you know, emotionally and bitter and frustrated, but they're still trying to find love. You know, you get a lot of people saying, no, I don't need no woman for nothing. That's not really true. They do need you,
yeah.
But all that other stuff has gotten in the way, and they don't really understand what they need you for. And like I said, that can vary from one man to the other.
Yeah.
So I can't answer for all men, but for me, yes, I need a black woman. That's what I want as a black woman in my life. You know, I was raised by a black woman and a black man that, you know, showed me what black love is supposed to look like. So for me, that's normal. For others, it may not be normal, depending on how they were raised.
I understand. So I am a member of, you know, a few groups, and I have a few groups, and I see a lot of this. And I thought, when I thought about this podcast, I'm like, okay. Let me make sure I ask them about this. I hear a lot of men say, and I hear, you know, just heard this a long time, that a woman brings out the best of a man. You know, I was wondering why that differs from man to man. I can understand why it differs from man to man, because each man is different. But If it takes a woman to bring out the best of a man, a certain specific woman, I suppose, I don't know what that would be, you know, what type of person that would be. Why don't more men know what their best? I've noticed that a lot of men don't seem to know what their best is. A man saying that, I don't even know what the best of me is until a woman brings it out of me. Is that question?
Well, I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
It's a bit, it's like the motivation, inspiration, you know.
Okay.
You find your partner in life that you want to be with, she's going to be that woman that's going to motivate you to be the best of the best, you know, to always do your best to provide her the best of what you can, you know, and you're doing
okay.
it because you have that responsibility as her husband to take care of her and provide for the family, you know. So one of the biggest things we definitely need is that moral support. You know, we
okay.
need that cheerleader. We know when we're trying to get that promotion, you know, we're trying to start a business, or, you know, we're playing, you know, we're playing basketball game with the fellas at the park and she's watching us play. You know, we need that
mm-hmm.
moral support to make
okay.
us go over that edge. You know, that's one
okay.
of the things about bringing out the best. I mean, it really is just the inspiration and motivation that a woman who truly wants to see you at your best can give you. But
okay.
unfortunately, a lot of men may not have seen examples of that coming up. So they don't really know what that means to them. You know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of the issues that I believe that we're having is because of lack of good examples. It's not
okay.
like how it was when I was coming up. You know, the examples were different, you know. So the generations after me, it seems it's gotten worse and worse and worse, you know. So people, it's hard for somebody to pick something they've never seen before, you
mm-hmm.
know. If as a man, I've never seen a woman inspire her man for greatness, then I wouldn't know how to pick it for myself. I've never seen it before. I've never seen it played out.
Mm-hmm.
I would hear it, but I won't think it's real because I've never seen it, you know.
Yeah.
So that makes a big difference as to what that particular man has seen in life. If he's never
mm-hmm.
seen an example of it, he really has no clue what he's looking for. So, you know, again, that can be a subjective thing, you know. Some guys mm-hmm. be like, well, I don't need no woman to get the best out of me. I can do that on my own, you know, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. That's fine. You mm-hmm. may be, and some dudes will say, well, no, I need to find, you know, I better have so I can get there where I need to go.
Yeah. You know? Those men who realize that, that what her role and what she's really there for is to
right.
boost and to promote as well. So this inbox thing, you know, I want to talk to you about that. We talked briefly about that. And kind of laugh about it, and I probably make a bigger deal about it than I should. You know, I don't really like to make announcements. I did. I went on my page a couple of times and said that I no longer, you know, and you know, my clients, they know by now that the best way to reach me, they know how to reach me. And I'm noticing that, you know, there are accommodating me by remembering that, you know, the best way to reach me is by text, because a lot of people do for their own comfort and, you know, availability will send an inbox message to me about, you know, work and that type of thing. But I removed the Messenger app from my phone because I've always used my inbox for business, knowing, though, and that, you know, people are going to send messages from time to time. The Wave thing in the box, you know, it's no problem with that. I think it's just like walking in the grocery store, you know, see somebody you want to speak to. It's the same as you know, just introducing yourself. What is this, what you're doing? What does that mean from a man? Or why does a man, you know, people are starting to make jokes about it, so I don't want to make a big deal about it. You know, I try not to be so pressed about things. But this what you're doing thing, so I get that all the time. So, and in my mind's eye, here I am thinking now, wait a minute, you want me to work? You're a total stranger. You want me to work, and you actually expect me to tell you what I'm doing. So, you know, and I'm trying to make it lighthearted right now because I realize in the past I've probably made a bigger deal out of it than what I should. But in trying to introduce the topic of conversing with that, when did we lose, or have we lost, the art of effective communication? Because you're a man, you know some of the things that men say in the inbox to total strangers. Listen, I've had men call me the B word because I did not respond to the what you doing fast enough for them. Now, I don't have to explain to anyone that I don't have Messenger on my phone and that I only go to my laptop a couple of times a week unless I'm talking to somebody. You know, I have a friend out of the country in London who we have an event scheduled here in the state later on in the summer, and that's the only way we can talk. But other than that, I have no real reason for the, you know, for the inbox. But is this where we're going with communication? You know, why is the inbox, why is social media such a medium for people to want to get to know someone more now than ever?
Well, because lack of communication is the result of social media and instant messaging and texting and all that stuff. When we made it very convenient to be able to reach out and talk to someone, we made it also easier for people to pretend to be somebody that they're not. So, by your example, it's what, like, if I met a woman at the store, you know, I have to walk up to her, introduce myself, hey, how you doing? My name is James, it's nice to meet you. You know, I find you very attractive, I'd like to get to know you better, you know, what's your name? And just go into a conversation of trying to find out who it is I just stepped to. Now, for a lot of men, we'll find that frighteningly scared to do that, because you open yourself up to rejection. That is one of the things that you have to deal with as a man, because we are the ones that go out looking. We're the hunters, so we have to learn how to deal with rejection. That's a hard thing to deal with when you walk her to a total stranger face-to-face, especially if you find her physically attractive. And you hyped it up in your own head. Oh, my God, this girl is fine as hell. I got to get her phone number. I got to talk to her. And she tells you, no, I'm not interested. And now he's in his feelings, you know, he's embarrassed because he done stepped to her in front of all these people, and everybody looking at him, talking to her, and looking at her face. You know, it's that whole scenario. Now, with social media, that scenario is completely removed now. Now they don't have to worry about that. Now it's like ordering pizza in your underwear. I can sit there and stay on Facebook all day long and look at all these random women profiles popping up, go right into their inbox and be like, hey, how you doing? You know, and just start conversations with like 10, 12 women at the same time versus me having to go outside of the house and find 10 or 12 women to walk up to and talk to. So it just changed the rules a bit and it made it so much easier. And also that's the problem too, because that's kind of like a, I guess you could say rite of passage as a man, being able to go after what you want, you know, face to face and go after. Now you don't have to do all that. You can just sit at home on a computer screen and inbox these women. And what I understand, the whole what you're doing thing, the issue that women seem to have, what they've told me, is that the guy will come into the inbox and he'll say, hey, I'm trying to get to know you, da-da-da-da. Okay, cool. But then the conversation doesn't go any further than that. He'll, you know, like the next day, he'll be like, good morning, beautiful. And he'll say, what you doing? And she may say, well, I'm at work, da-da-da-da. And that's it. No other conversation. And then a few hours go by, here he come again. Hey, what's up? What you doing? And she's like, well, you know, I'm at lunch. What are you doing? Well, I'm at lunch too. And that's it.
Yeah.
And then evening time comes, she's going home, she's tired, she's been working all day. Here he come again. Hey, what you doing? And that's it. That's all he's asking is what you doing. He's not saying anything else. He's not asking no questions. He ain't cracking no jokes. He's not doing nothing but asking, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's
how do you respond to that? You know, how do you respond to that? You got different kind of people out there in the world, and as well as you're saying people on social media. So if a man, has no, you know, because you can't even tell a person's real intentions by the inbox. You see what I'm saying? You just can't. And, you know, I had a friend tell me one time that she preferred texting as a way of communication because, and I asked her why. And she said that she could end the conversation, any time in any way that she wanted to. So it got me to thinking that maybe people don't even know how to verbally end conversations. You know, our communication skills, I think, have just gotten kind of warped. But most of us think, women, we think that a larger percentage of men who approach us. Now, here's the thing. There are some people who have my phone number, who I've given my phone number to through the years. Wouldn't call it meeting on the inbox or meeting on social media, but that's just another way to meet someone. They would still rather inbox me. And these people know that I don't have Messenger on my phone. Okay? No problem with that. I'm trying to understand people more, so I won't make a big fuss about that. But there are just some men on there who seem to not be interested, except how do you meet somebody and you have a few conversations back and forth, and then all of a sudden you open your inbox one day and you see someone who you never met and ask you, do you want to come over? And me, I'm going to do something stupid like this. Well, come over for what? And then I hear, we all grown. We both grown. What does that mean? Because I just want to know, what does it mean?
You know what that means. He just wants to screw you. That's what that means. That was his whole purpose in talking to you, was to get you to come over his house so he can screw you. Plain and simple. Because
so when I tell people that, they swear, and I get some women out there, some of these pick-me women, they'll swear that that's not the truth. But what other conclusion can I draw? How do you ask a total stranger, ask them, do they want to come over? You've never had a conversation. You don't even know who you're talking. You don't even know what the voice sounds like.
Well, that,
and, you know, and you want to come watch a movie? No, I got movies here.
you know, no dating. No, do you want to go out for a cup of coffee? Well, I'm not going to say that. That's not true in all cases. I've had some really nice men ask me, you know, if you want to go, you know, and meet for a cup of coffee, meet for a drink. But a large percentage, and I've talked to women about this, that's what we see. We go from A to Z so quickly. And why do people feel like they can just, you know, I'm still trying to understand that part. But you coming from a man, okay, I feel better about the way I saw that. And I know I'm not being, and, you know, I don't feel like I'm being paranoid about those kind of things. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact, too, that, you know, you can end the conversation, quote unquote, quickly and abruptly. So, but yeah, okay. Well, this comes from a man, so I feel like, you know, I'm not, like I said, I'm not being paranoid. I've seen more and more people and heard more and more people talk about the fact that it's hard to be intimate, meaning romantic, not sex. I'm talking about intimate. Do you see a lot of that from a man's point of view, where even could be women? I'm talking about people in relationships now. Intimacy, you know, this may be a stretch, but, you know, walking in the park or going to the museum and dating, where there's no sex involved, but just romance. Is that becoming a lost art?
Well, yeah, because romance is no longer required in most cases, sadly. All it's required is two people looking for the same thing, and that's it. They're gonna do it regardless. Romance is not needed. Back in the day, you had to use romance to kind of get what you wanted from a woman, because you had to kind of get her in that mood and make her feel some kind of way to get something from her. Now you ain't gotta do all that. All you gotta do is just be breathing, and you know, you can provide that dick. That's what it is. You know, it's easier to have sex now than it used to be. You know, back in the day, they taught you, you know, you were supposed to wait till you got married to have sex. And, you know, shows kind of reflected that. Then everything started shifting to where it was more about the sex now. You saw being portrayed in society and movies and TV shows and music, just meeting a total stranger and sleeping with them. So it's just like, oh, okay. So it's okay to just have sex with a person. You don't have to do all the other stuff. Like, no, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to have sex, just say, hey, I want to have sex, and they want to have sex, and there you go.
Yeah,
romance,
and maybe I'm off, maybe I'm off a little bit with this. But again, I go back to some of the things that are going on with us, even in America right now, in terms of the way we're treated and racism and a lot of things. You know, again, goes back to power. We don't win a lot. Black people do not win a lot. We don't gain a lot. We don't conquer a lot. And so I think it's the conquest. Sometimes I think that some men, just because of sex, the conquest of sex is exchanged for winning or for gaining. You know, I don't think really that, I think that if we're not careful, we're going to just see each other as just sex objects, as nothing else. And one of the reasons I'm talking about single people tonight is because I know I have a lot of married friends, and none of them have a problem with me being, you know, they're always inviting me places. I'm, you know, always, you know, you want to go here with us, you want to go there with us. So I never feel uncomfortable being around couples, and I'm not talking about married people right now, but single people, you know, I ask a lot of my friends, I'm a food caterer, one of the things I do, and I, you know, cater, you know, weddings. And so, I ask men sometimes and women separately, why are you getting married? Why are you getting married? He always says because she wants to. Now, if you ask a woman why she's getting married, she can give you a whole lot of reasons, a whole list of reasons. But, and I'm not saying in every case, but most of the men say, well, you know, I love her and that's what she wants to do. I just thought, you know, I don't know if that, if that means anything. But, you know, when our parents were growing up, it was just something that they know they had to do. And that's just what they did, you know. So, talking about people who need to heal, I kind of touched up on that a little bit. I know you know a lot about that subject. Well, how does the fact that we need to heal affect our relationships? We need to heal from, let's put it like this. When I say heal, from a lot of trauma. See, I see a lot of women especially, they Facebook post, they may be upset with their ex, and they have a lot of these subliminal messages to their ex, but they're making Facebook posts. And it's a lot of, you know, so a lot of women on the pages and geeking her up, and, you know, you write about that, and he's no good, and that type of thing. And I'm noticing that, you know, a lot of women like a trauma bond. Rainy doesn't trauma bond. So I don't, you know, I'm not invited to those circles. I will not, nor do I have time to sit in these sister circles to trauma bond. And so, I want to know from you, we have a lot of issues that have not been reconciled. You know, a lot of people, you know, break up over stuff. And so they don't get closure. And those same people are trying to get involved now in new relationships and bring all of that junk from past relationships and to new relationships. How do we know? How can we tell? You can't tell everything about a person, but initially while you're getting to know someone or dating, can you tell if a person has some unresolved issues that need to be worked on before you can enter into a relationship with them? Because I know for myself, when I look back, I've done a lot of damage in relationships because I'm just starting to talk publicly about the fact that I'm a victim of narcissism. Parental narcissism, okay? And when I look back on that, I see a lot of damage that I did to relationships because of that. I never talked about it. I didn't deal with it. I acted as if it was going to just go away. And what it did, it got worse, you see. So I even feel like a different person once I started to recognize it and own it and understand that this just is what it was and what it is. I can't control it. So I started looking, fixing myself. But look how long it took. You know, I wasn't a horrible person, but there were just some things that I did or did not do or should have done and should not have done in those relationships. And even in the one marriage that I had, a lot of that stuff was just because I did not reconcile and I did not understand that I needed to heal from some things before I helped to damage someone else. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So can we tell if a person, when we get to know a person, what are some of the ways we can tell if that person is worth our time? Because a lot of us do have unresolved issues that need to be taken care of first.
Well, actually, to learn that, it actually has to start with you. You have to learn how to introspect your own life to see where the patterns have been taking effect.
Okay.
A lot of times, we tend to want to be the victim in everything. Everybody's been kind of taught that you're the victim all the time. You didn't do nothing wrong. They just didn't appreciate you, blah, blah, blah. But that's not always the case. Most of the time, that's not the case. See, that's the way life works. Life gives you the test, and then you learn the lesson from the test results. Instead of you studying and then taking the test, it's the opposite. So when we have an experience or a situation with a person and it doesn't work, now we have to take the time to find out why it didn't work. What did I do to contribute to the situation not working versus trying to say, well, I did everything right, they did everything wrong, they just didn't appreciate. Well, by the third and fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh time you've done this and you're still saying, well, I did nothing wrong and they the ones just didn't appreciate me, that's the problem, because you're the common denominator in all of this. And I tell people, self-love is the basis for it, because you have to learn how to love and accept who you are as a person. Because another person is never going to love and accept you if you can't even do it for yourself.
Yeah.
Once you figure out where your issues are, then you can start to try to worry about somebody else's issue. Because what will happen is when you fix yourself, you'll be able to see other people's issues very easily. Because as long as you're not working on making yourself the best person you can be emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually, then you're not going to be able to see nothing that somebody else has. Because most of the time, especially nowadays with people out here dating, people are dating from a position of being lonely. They're scared to be end up by themselves. They don't want to be alone. That's why they're out here dating. They're not out here dating because they love their life the way it is and they just want to share it with somebody else. No, they're lonely. They hate their life. They're tired of doing it by themselves. They got kids they got to take care of that was left in their custody, you know. They don't like the job. They ain't like, you know, they want somebody else to come and save them and fix their life for them. So you have to start working on yourself first. You have to fix your own life. Once you got your head going in the right direction, it's very easy to see when someone else doesn't have theirs, because you'll be seeing the stuff that you used to have in them. That's how you can tell. It's like when you've gone through something and you've healed from it, it's easy to see it in someone else. Because it's always easier to see things when you're on the outside looking in versus when you're on the inside looking out. You miss everything at that point.
Yeah.
That's why I tell people, go back through all your relationships from the start when you first met them up until the ending. Really look at it. And you'll see all kinds of red flags that was being flown in your face that told you leave this person alone, but you did it anyway. A lot of times it's because you didn't even know it was a red flag. So, like, once you've experienced it, guess what? That's a red flag now. So when you see it again, pay attention. Now, not all red flags are the type that you have to go run into the hills for. Some of them are just for your own, you know, notification that, hey, they got this going with them, possibly. Be warned. That type of thing. But you have to pay attention to the signs that people are showing you in their actions towards you. And like I said, that really starts with learning to love who you are. Love yourself for all your flaws, your quirks, your character, your strengths, your negatives, all of that stuff, and being okay with who you are. Because when you do that, then you won't be so concerned and focused about whether or not a person likes you. You'll be strong enough to say, I like who I am. You just don't, you know, if you don't like me, that's fine. Somebody else will. Versus when you don't know who you are, when you don't like who you are, and you don't want to hear that rejection, so you attach yourself to somebody and you're willing to do anything you got to do to keep them. And that's not healthy. That's not even love. That's an attachment. And most of the issue is because some people just never will love correctly. You know, everybody has their own idea of what love is and how you show it. So that's another thing you got to find out, too. And a part of that, too, is learning how to communicate effectively. You know? Like, how can you try to deal with somebody else when you lie to yourself all the time? Stop lying to yourself about what you want, what you need, what you're looking for. Be honest.
Yeah.
If you can't be honest with yourself, then how are you going to expect to try to vet somebody else to see if they're a person that's, you know, someone you want to be with or not? So that's what I try to do is say, hey, we have to start loving ourselves, because that's not something that society teaches us. Society that teaches us that we need somebody else to be complete. Instead of saying you don't need someone else to be complete, complete yourself first. Work on you first. Get yourself together. Get your career going. Get your family life going the way you want it. You know, take care of you. And while you're doing that, you'll be in a different position, a different headspace when you meet people, and you'll be able to easily identify people that are like you and people who are not like you, and leave them alone and keep pushing.
Yeah.
But until you work on yourself first, trying to figure out somebody else is a waste of time, because you're just going to keep getting the same results over and over and over and over again. just like everybody else, getting the same results over and over and over again. We have to make some changes now because it's not working. It's not the 1950s or the 60s. It's 2019 now. It's a whole different ball game out here.
So, last question. What would you say that women need to do to help make relationships or relating to, especially if they're looking for relationships, to making relationships work? What do women need to do?
They need to love themselves more, but they don't love themselves enough. They're so busy trying to find somebody to love them, you know, unconditionally, but they don't love themselves unconditionally. You know, because how are you going to tell me that you got this guy in your life who lies to you, cheats on you consistently, you know, do you dirty all the time, but you keep talking about that you love him so much and you keep praying that he's going to change? I say that's not going to happen. So clearly, you're not loving yourself enough to realize that you don't deserve to be treated that way and that you can go find somebody else that can treat you better, but you'd rather settle for less so you have a man, even though he's doing all this negative stuff to you. But in your mind, you have associated that with that's what's normal in a relationship, and that's not. And when you love yourself that much and you heal from your pain and your past, you'll be able to understand that better.
Yeah.
And then you'll stop choosing those type of men that keep breaking your heart. Because no one is that unlucky in love. It's just that you just don't want to accept the fact that you chose that person. And if you didn't vet them properly, that's what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for men. Men are in the same position. We got to learn how to love ourselves and stop choosing these same, you know, type of women that keep getting us all messed up. We can't keep saying, yeah, the woman is no good and da, da, da. No, it's you and your choices that are no good. And that's what I tell people, men and women. I tell them, don't sit up there talking about men suck and women suck and ain't no good ones left. There are plenty of good, decent people left, men and women, black men and women. But the problem is the people don't go through a proper vetting process to make sure that this person is truly compatible with them. They're looking for people that they have things in common with versus somebody that they're compatible with for a long-term relationship. Now,
is that what you mean when you say, is that what you mean when you say vetting process?
Yes. Because if you're just casually dating, then a lot of that doesn't even matter because it's a casual dating situation. You meet, you have fun, you go home, that's it. But if you're trying to get into a long-term relationship, a marriage, then you have to have a vetting process to make sure that the person that you're dealing with is even compatible with you. Because otherwise, you're going to invest months and years into a person, fall in love with them, and then you're going to have problems because you're going to find out you're not compatible. But instead of you leaving them alone because you put in so much time, you're trying to figure out how can you deal with them. Some stuff you just can't deal with. You got to let it go. But it's hard to do that when you have feelings for a person. It's kind of too late at that point. It makes it hard. So if you create a vetting process in the very beginning when you first meet them, it makes it a little easier to determine if this person is even worth going on a date with.
So give me an example of a one vetting process, and then I'm going to let you go because I know it's late.
Well, like my vetting process basically is I'm a conversationalist. I like to talk, you know. I like to communicate. I like to ask questions about a woman, where she comes from, you know, what are her goals, you know, who does she idolize, mentor, you know, what makes her cry, all that good stuff. And I don't sit there with a checklist of 20 questions. No. I just engage her in a regular conversation, and throughout the conversation, I just ask her relevant questions, and I watch her response, what she tells me. And that helps me to know what direction I can really go with her, because I know I can talk. So if she don't like to talk, I'm not going to date her. There's no reason for me to date you, because all you're going to do is, by the time we get to the basic questions in about 5 or 10 minutes, you're sitting there staring at each other trying to figure out what we're going to eat, and that's the rest of the evening. That's it. And I can say that because I've gone on hundreds of first dates. And I can honestly tell you, I learned nothing about a woman on the first date because we're spending too much time trying to impress you, trying to make sure there ain't no food in our teeth, kind of look like we got it going on. And you know, all that other stuff is in a way.
The swag and all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So it's like I started asking questions and having meet and greets, you know, just meet up someplace, you know, casually at the mall or a store or something or at the park, and just sit there and talk like and build a friend foundation. Just have a friendly talk. And ask all those questions and get, you know, and fill them out, you know, face to face and stuff. Even do it over the phone. It doesn't require a long time. It just requires some effort. Because I've already gone through just meeting a pretty woman, asking her name, getting her phone number, saying, you know, when are you available so I can take you on the date? And then I'm on the date, and that's when you find out, well, we really ain't got nothing in common that's worth anything other than we both love seafood, you know, or we have things in common. We both like to, you know, play laser tag or take long walks. But that's not a reason to date you because you can do the same thing I can do. I need something that's deeper than that for the long term. I need to know that you can communicate when something's going on, you know. I need to know what your language of love is. I need to know what your ideals are about family and raising children and all that other good stuff. Those are the questions you need to ask. I need to find out what your results were in your past relationship, you know, to try to see if you're really ready or not, you know. But it's kind of like you just got to build a friendship with a person prior to taking them on the date. And depending on the level of the connection, you can have that done in one night. You can have a couple hours conversation, talk about everything under the sun, because it's not about the length of time. It's about the quality of the time you put in. And that tells you a whole lot about a person. If they're willing to talk to you about stuff like that, you got a good opportunity of having somebody that's really about something. A person don't want to tell you about who they are. They don't want to tell you anything, and act like it's a big mystery. Run away from those type of people, because I'm not about to bring you into my world, around my son, around my family, on my body, and everything else. And you can't ask them a simple question. Nah, I don't do that no more. Yeah. And if you're not asking me those type of questions, I'm looking at you like you really don't care who I am. You just like what you see.
That's it.
Yeah. And that's how people date. And that's what has to change, because this is, again, we're not our parents and grandparents. The caliber of the men and women has changed now because of all the other stuff, all the, you know, the social issues have gotten in the way, and now everybody is out here all messed up. Don't want to heal, and everybody wants to be the victim. But they all still want to find somebody to love them unconditionally. So we get a lot of foolishness going on. So.
Wow. I wish we could continue, but I know it's late there, and I thank you so much for continuing to do this podcast, especially at this time. You can talk a little, if you want to talk a little bit about your podcast or your social media presence, you can do so right here, or I have that information. I can just end up putting that in the show notes. You want to talk a little bit about your podcast and the platform that you use real quick and how we can find you on that platform?
I'm using Anchor. I was recommended that particular platform by someone else that was doing, they just started doing their podcast. It's very simple and easy to set up. It kind of walks you through the different steps for setting up your very first podcast and how it works. With my particular podcast, like I said, it's going to be basically about learning how to love yourself, how that can help you have better relationships with family, friends, loved ones, at work, because everything basically starts with self-love, you know. I do tend to focus a lot on relationships because, you know, they kind of go hand in hand. If you don't love yourself, then how are you going to love somebody else? You know, how do you know when someone's loving you properly? So we need to get back to learning how to love ourselves and put ourselves first. Instead of being so willing to just, you know, be like, well, I'm lonely, I got to be with somebody. You know, no, loneliness is a temporary state. It's not a permanent one. You know, we have to rethink a lot of the things that society has taught us. So my podcast is going to be about teaching people how to take some of that junk and throw it away and put some new stuff in there. If you're looking to do something different, if you want to change some things. Otherwise, if you're okay with how things are going with your life, then you keep doing it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not a guarantee that's going to work for you, but just giving you an alternative, a different way of doing things if you're tired of doing the same old. You know, it's basically trying something new. Now, I started off and still doing my posts on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook under Soulful Archer. That's my name up there. I switched to the podcast because I wanted to reach a larger audience than what was on Facebook. Plus, I find it much easier to express myself verbally than trying to write everything down in two sentences that people don't want to read. So it's like, hey, the podcast is going to give me an option to do a lot more work and reach a lot more people. Now, on Anchor, you can reach me under the same name, The Soulful Archer, also, if you're going to look me up on their Anchor.
Okay, I got you. And on Anchor FM, is that the...
Yep.
Is that Anchor? Okay. So, want to thank you so much and for continuing to do this podcast again. And I will talk to you real soon. I will talk to you soon. I'm going to go ahead and edit and upload this podcast. I'll send it to you later. I'll put it on SoundCloud and iTunes, and then you'll be able to import that to your own podcast.
Cool.
And I'll tag it. I'll tag you in it and get it to you. Okay.
Not a problem. I appreciate you having me on. I really am humbled by the experience. I love it.
I love following you. I love all of this good information, and that's why I wanted to talk to you. I appreciate it so much. I hope everyone, I know that everyone who listens is going to enjoy it. We ask everyone to comment, to review, let us know what you thought about this podcast tonight. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you soon.
You have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.